I'm talking to legendary bass guitarist and the voice of rock, Glenn Hughes. Hi, Glenn. How are you today?
Hi, Alison. How are you?
I'm good, thanks.
Nice to be talking to another Brit. As I'm in Switzerland right now.
Oh, lovely. That sounds great. Okay, so you're currently on your solo European tour, which you started last month. How's it been going?
It's been going really well. It's really kind of a lovely story to tell you. I've been coming from Black Country to California Breed, and then saying to myself earlier this year with my new management company, okay, what do we do now? Do we film another band? Do we make a record? Do we film a documentary? Or do we go solo? And my manager said, I think we should go solo. And within a week, we had so many offers coming in around the globe that we are now, which I haven't really spoke about to anyone yet, we're now extending my tour through all of next year. I mean, I haven't done a cycle of touring like this.
Wow.
Don't hold your breath, since Deep Purple.
Wow. Oh, fantastic news. Yeah.
And I think, Alison, for me, that if I have my choice right now to make a record or to continue touring, I have to say that the appeal for me at this moment in time in my life, working with the people I'm working with behind the scenes and on stage, and is the appropriate time for me to play and sing my music live.
Oh, that's fantastic. Great.
Yeah,
so will that be going ahead with your three pieces you are now with Doug Aldrich and Pontus Engel?
It's going really, really well. It's going so well that it's a pinch my bum moment, because I guess since Black Country, I haven't done so much work live that obviously with Flash and things with Keras and Matt and Steven Tyler, I do that, you know, and Joe Elliott, which is really fantastic.
Yeah.
But as a solo artist, I haven't done a lot of work, and as I said before, my new office has gladly come to me and said, hey, you know, we've got offers for you all over the world, and I've got to be honest with you, I was going, wow, let's go.
Right. Oh, that's awesome.
My record company said to me a month ago, when can we expect a new album? I said, and I was laughing. My manager said to them, well, he's too busy. He's too busy to make a record. So, you know, it's really good stuff.
Right, okay. So is there something that you like about the smaller setup, you know, because California Breed was a trio, and now what you're doing now is a trio?
Here's the thing. Before your time, my love, in the early, like, 70s, I was in a band called Trapeze, and that was a trio.
Yeah.
Let's just say, as a teenager, I learned from Jack, my friend Jack Bruce, and I learned the art of playing in a trio. And, you know, we purple candy keyboards, and then, you know, blah, 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 and then there's always keyboards. And so I wanted to get back to playing in a trio simply because the sparseness and emptiness and air that belongs within a trio is dramatic for me. It enables me to play less or sing more or sing less and play more. It's you can't hide in a trio. There's a certain element and certain chord structures I like to use in a trio, which I can't do in a keyboard thing.
Right.
And I want to go back to being to extremely, how do I say this to you, organic in a way that I don't want any processed sounds, and I want it to be straight into the amp and straight, you know, like it used to be back in the day. I'm not trying to be 1974 because I am 1974. So, you know, I don't want to be, you know, anything other than what I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. Oh, that sounds fantastic. And I read that the legendary Ronnie James Dio introduced you to Doug. Can you tell me a bit more about that?
Ronnie was, for all of us, an iconic member of our, you know, rock society. Ronnie, to me, was, on that very first day I met Ronnie in 73, November-ish, he opened for Purple, we became very, very good friends. So when I talk about Ronnie, I talk about my friend.
Yeah.
So over the years, Ronnie's always introduced me to Vivian Campbell, of course, and then, you know, and then, you know, when Doug came in, he said, hey, I've got a new guitar player. I said, what's his name? He said, his name is Doug Aldrich. He said, oh, I'll come over and meet him. So I've known Doug before David took Doug, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So when I put my band together, Doug was the first one I called. I'll tell you why. Doug is, this is kind of strange, he's a way better guitar player than I thought he was. not taking anything away from Whitesnake or Dio.
Yeah.
But when I play with Doug and when we get together, I'm going, oh, hey, wait a minute, I didn't know you could go there. I didn't know you were into that, or I didn't know you were able to do this. You know, so it was great news for me. And also, Doug is someone I can actually have dinner with, have breakfast with, and our wives are friends, and it's a really hidden... There's no hidden agendas with Doug and I. We're really close friends.
Oh, that's great. Oh, fantastic. Okay, so we must go on to your dates coming up. You're set to play 9 dates in the UK, starting on the 17th of October in Southampton. You've lived in the USA for so long, so how does it feel coming back here?
Yeah, I mean, I've lived in LA since 72, and it is home for me. I mean, you know, it's LA's a place for me where I got off the plane in 1970. It was December the 7th or something. And I've got a diary of when I moved, when I went to the States.
Yeah.
And I got off the plane in LA and I could smell the air. It was different. And I could smell the ocean. And it wasn't just the fact that I was in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. It was the fact that I was in what I consider to be the mecca of all music for me, was, you know, Crosby, Stills and Nash and Joni Mitchell and, of course, Stevie Wonder. And American music was vital for me.
Yeah.
And so when I walked down Laurel Canyon one day, I went, this is where I want to live, you know?
Yeah.
And I mean, I'm from Wolverhampton, so London probably would have been that aspect for someone from the north of England to move to London. But I went a little bit further west. I went all the way to Los Angeles and kind of stayed there.
Yeah, yeah. So what do you like about coming back to the UK? Do you have any favourite places?
Well, my mum and dad are still up there, so
right.
I do visit the UK quite often to
yeah.
see them.
Yeah.
The UK for me is the centre of my life as a musician. This is where I learn how to play and sing. And that's the streets I walked as a child are still there. My club, Wolverhampton Wanderers, is always there. I'm very British in that aspect, but I'm so Americanized that it's just the way life is for me, but I am a firm British man.
Yeah, yeah, okay.
I haven't changed my passport just yet.
Not yet, okay. So on this tour as well, you've got Jared James Nichols as your special guest on those dates. Have you worked with him before?
Yeah, he's been with me on the road now for 3 weeks. And
right.
His manager in LA, a good friend of mine, has been trying to get me to write for Jared for the last couple of years, and now I've met Jared. I don't see a reason why I can't step in and work with him a little bit. And he's just such a lovely, lovely man. And he's such a really ardent blues player, and he's such a good kid. You know, I could be his dad, and he's such a lovely lad. I'd really love to see him play.
Yeah. Oh, that's fantastic. Right, okay. You've mentioned, of course, your time with Deep Purple, and I was watching the famous California Jam from 74 last night. What a show that was with that huge crowd. How do you feel looking back on that era?
A lot of people say, you know, that epic event was like with Woodstock and, you know, and the Monterey Jazz Festival. It's like the biggest, one of the three top grossing shows of that era, you know. And I think for Purple, with what happened on that show, with the blowing of the amps and the smashing of that camera and the amount of sales we sold after we blew that stage up was amazing. Looking at myself back then, if you look at me, you'll notice I'm not showing you my face because I was so kind of like in a different world back then. You know, I was kind of shy, believe it or not. And I was all hair and all legs. And it was a mighty, mighty show, surrounded by loving, loving people, and made was wonderful on that show.
Yeah, it certainly was. Okay, right, as you've mentioned, you love playing live, and you seem to try and go to as many places as possible. For example, you played Beirut a few months ago, so yeah. Is there anywhere you'd like to perform that you haven't yet?
Well, you know, I haven't spoke about this, so I'll tell you. December the 4th, 1975, my bodyguard was killed in Jakarta, Indonesia.
Oh, dear.
It's a well-known fact. We're making a film about it, actually.
Right.
So, on December the 4th this year, 40 years after the death, I'm going to play in that city again.
Wow, really?
To commemorate the loss of my friend, my bodyguard, and to go sort of like to a place where I thought I could never go to. They threw me in jail for murder, and they let me out. We had to pay money to get me out. It was a horrible event.
Right.
And I'm going back to do what I do and pray and play a concert and a film. So that's going to be kind of a special moment for me.
Yeah, yeah.
And we were the first band ever to play that nation, and it was something really bad happened where one of us got killed.
Yeah.
And it was a really very vile moment. But I've walked the streets for so long since then that I need to go back and do a little bit of a spiritual thing down there. So
yeah.
I think that's going to help me as a human being, if you will, in what I do.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. I hope it goes well for you. Okay, so we'll have to get towards the end now. I just want to say you've got a great relationship with your fans on social media. You post a lot of messages on there. And I would like to pass on a couple of messages from a couple of your fans. Joe in America would like to say that you have a prog friend who loves the Butterfly Ball album and your work with Emerson and Vanilla.
Oh, great. Cool.
And also Brett in Canada says Winnipeg wants to see you.
I'm coming, you know. I'm doing my first American tour next March. And what I'm doing, Alison, we're extending my tour to September, October of 2016. So I'm going to be continuously working now.
Right.
My first long tour since 1975. So... choice to do an album or a tour, I think the tour.
Oh, but you're going to be very busy, so I hope it all goes well. Would you just like to leave a final message for your fans?
I'm in love with the UK. I'm a British person that lives in America and travels all over the place, but I'm still wearing my British underpants.
Oh, thanks so much for your time, Glenn, and have a great tour.
I'm seeing my fans on tour, and thank you so much for the call.
Oh, thank you. Okay.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Alan.